Welcome to Season 4 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Hannah Wheeler, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Tie Down Breakdown. I'm your host, Hannah Wheeler. I had the opportunity to talk with Kyle Lucas the other day. Kyle literally grew up in the sport of rodeo with his dad, Joe Lucas, who made the Canadian Finals in NFR several times. After a successful winter, Kyle is sitting 17th in the world and chasing the same NFR goals he set back when he bought his rookie card in 2013. We talked about what it's like rodeoing between the U.S. and Canada, the ups and downs of rodeo, the horsepower behind his 2025 season, and how he's keeping his mental game sharp. Kyle also shares what it's like being known as Katie Lucas's little brother and how he's working to make his own name. Let's jump into it. So you've been around the sport of rodeo since you were born, literally. Tell me about that, your childhood, and kind of your start rodeo-wise.
Dang, I don't know how long you want me to babble on for about that, but you kind of summed it up. My dad rodeoed for, I don't even know how many years. He made the Canadian Finals 23 or 24 times and the National Finals 6 times. So me at being early 30s, I was, like you said, really immersed in it right from the start. I've got pictures of me as a child with a pig and string in my hand or a rope. Or funny story, my mom's side, they're not really rodeo people. And I remember my grandpa, when I was young, my mom told me that she always thought I had something wrong with me just because I had a rope in my hand and I was roping something 24/7, like I was roping chairs or dogs or cats or people walking by. So He thought I had something wrong with me, but I was just hooked on rodeo, so I probably do.
I don't know if there's anything wrong with that at all. Tell me a little bit about what it's like being from Canada and rodeoing in the United States. Is this something that you were used to as a kid, or you kind of had to learn when you got started rodeoing, or what?
Well, I had to learn. You see, my family's had a property in Arizona my whole life. I think my dad bought a place there in the late 80s, and he just wanted a good place to winter and practice in the winter and get away from the cold snow in Canada. So I was kind of fortunate enough to have a little bit of both, but I never was able to rodeo with my dad in the States at all. Ever since I could remember, he was kind of at the end of his career and just staying up in Canada. And that's a cool story of its own. And in 2006 was his last Canadian Finals, and I was able to go to a bunch of rodeos with him and see him be really successful and compete. And then, you know, to step away from it that same year, I do hold a lot of respect for him for that, just because I guess he kind of knew he was on his way out. I beg to differ, though. I think he could still make the Canadian Finals to date, but I think I might be biased. But he's a big time, kind of a natural athlete, I should say, and natural winner. So it was cool to go around with him there at the end and go to all the Canadian rodeos. But then, to answer your question, at the end of it, I had to figure out a lot in the States, and I don't know if you ever do quite figure it out, because it's changing all the time. Not only is our sport changing, but for instance, this week we're in Napa, Idaho, and it's usually the week after Calgary. It's usually the middle of July, so they moved it up. So, you know, that changes the rodeo schedule a little bit. And if anyone rodeos, they know that to enter one weekend of rodeos, you have to have the next weekend and the next weekend and the next weekend figured out, because it all flows together, and there is a natural way to enter it, or else you're going against the current for sure. So it's a learning curve for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. You've been just out of making the finals a few times. Kind of walk me through that and your pro rodeo career this far.
Yeah, I think it's a long time coming. I've seen something about, I think it was like Larry D. Guy or Jackie Crawford, one of the big dog girls. They had a big poster. It might have been an Ariat poster or Rock and Roll Denim poster, one of the two. It said something about pay your dues, and that stuck with me and helped me some this year. You know, when I maybe even doubt myself, I'm like, shoot, I've been at this game a long time. I got my professional card in 2013, so I figured I've paid my dues enough, and it's probably about my turn.
That kind of leads me in right into my next point. This winter, it seems like kind of just everything came together for you. Tell me a little bit about that.
I've never had that great of a winter, to be honest. I believe the year after COVID, I say that, but the year after COVID, I think after a lot of the winter rodeos, I was actually winning Canada, but that was a special year. I don't even think I had a third of what I've got, or what I had at that time, won. So I've had a decent winter, but I've never had a great winter to where it set me up for the rest of the year. One of the more talented calf ropers I've ever been around was Randall Carlisle. He said every time he had a really good winter, it sure set him up for the rest of the year. I think that works on both ends of the spectrum. I've had terrible winters and left confident and won pretty good money, obviously not made the finals, but was able to turn it around and have a good rest of the year. So I think having that in your tool bag will probably go both ways. So but if I had to pick one or the other, I'm gonna try to have a big winter every year and hopefully have a bigger one next year.
For sure, yeah. I know you rode Peso a bunch this winter, but tell me a little bit about your personal horses. What do you have in your arsenal?
I don't have anything right now. I've got my little mare that I cracked out last year, and she ended up cutting her leg and kind of has had some time off, and I finally got the clear on her to get her back ready to rock and roll. So I've kind of just been bumming rides, so to speak. I'm fortunate enough, I'm buddied up with Logan a little bit, and he has a whole string of horses. So we've been riding Peso at all the really good ones, and then he's got some good up and comers as well. He brought me one to Stavely last week, and I actually won that rodeo. And depending on the weather, we might set Peso out if it's really muddy and ride some of his other backups.
Right.
So between my mare being sore, and then I had my old faithful gray horse named Ghost, and I ended up selling him to a little kid who's been getting along really well with him and winning everything. So it's I've been kind of a one horse man, and then sometimes a no horse man at some point. So we've been all over.
It's awesome having guys, I'm sure, like Logan in your corner, though, that are more than willing to help you out when it comes to horsepower.
Yeah, I've been kind of getting on his butt a little bit. He ropes so well, and I don't know if he knows how good he ropes, to be honest, and obviously has the horsepower.
Right.
We're down here in Napa right now. He's getting ready to run his second calf tonight. I had to drag him down here. He didn't necessarily want to come, or even he didn't even want to enter, but I got him down here, and he made a really good run in the first round. I think he ended up one out of placing, and if he makes another good run, he'll be back to the short round for sure. So I think not only so we both get to ride as good horses, I would also love to see Logan make this NFR as well, because if I'm not mistaken, if they put all his Canadian money that he's won in there, he's dang sure within $5,000. I wouldn't be afraid to say maybe only 2,500 out of 15th place in the world. So just a good Napa will put him right in there.
Right.
So it's neat to have him with me here as well.
Talk to me a little bit about what it's like having guys like Logan, obviously for their horsepower, but kind of that camaraderie on the road. Talk to me a little bit about that and kind of how important it is while you're out there on the road.
It's important. Yeah, it's important for sure. He's always put a lot of importance on the Canadian rodeos, and I've been bugging him about that. That, like, shoot, Logan, you've been season leader, you've won Canada, you've done it all up there. I said, let's go get us the back numbers down here, and it's an every week thing. I got to get him down here. I think he's really starting to see that he is competitive down here and can do it. And I think it would be super neat to be able to both go there. And I think the camaraderie is really good as well, like you were mentioning, because we do put some importance on the Canadian rodeo. So it's hard to find someone that you can travel with that is going back and forth to each side. Back and forth to each side of the border.
Right.
Because that's been a problem with mine, and I've had to go by myself a lot because of that. There's not a lot of guys. I think me and Bo Cooper were about the only calf ropers that were going, and Bo was always buddied up with Hanchy. He was going back and forth quite a bit, so I was kind of by myself a lot. So it's nice to have someone with me for sure.
What kind of lessons did you learn early on? I know you said, like, you're a little ways into your pro rodeo career now, but what kind of lessons did you learn early on that you've, you know, tried to learn from now that you're going back and forth a bunch that you've really taken with you?
I had to learn right away, because if I'm not mistaken, if you look up some stats, 2013 was my rookie year. And I don't know if you know off the top of your head who the rookie of the year was in 2013, but probably arguably the best calf roper in my generation was Cody Ohl, but he was kind of on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd have to put Caleb Schmidt in there.
Right.
And if you look at the stats, Caleb was the rookie of the year that year, made the NFR, maybe tied some in six there. So I learned right away for sure to, you know, if I was even going to try to make the NFR, let alone rookie of the year, I was immersed with the toughs from the start.
Oh yeah, definitely. How awesome is it though for you to have started in era of just like phenomenal calf ropers?
I think it's changing too, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I was very fortunate. I dropped Cody Ohl's name because he's arguably the best. And then, so to be able to see him, and not just see him, like, he's still roping today, but he was in his prime. I got to see him tie calves in six or tie calves in eight, even, that no one else could tie in 15. So I got to see him on his good horse Pearl just be so dominant. And then fast forward today, it's, whether or not you agree, it's starting to get it to be a different game already.
Right.
And so you gotta mention Riley Webb and Chad Mayfield. Because they're the front runners of changing this game, and I'm seeing the stuff that they're doing that's almost like a shortcut, and then just making them so much better and faster. And then I'm getting to see these up and coming kids that maybe don't even have their pro card yet, but they're hanging around a little bit, and they're doing all these same things as well. So there's a shift in calf roping for sure.
Talk to me about your mental game. What are you doing to stay sharp mentally on the road?
Dang, there's a lot of things. I don't think I'm a quote unquote head case. I try to stay one step ahead of my mind, and that's ultimately keeping priorities in order, talking to God, praying a lot, reading the Bible a lot. Just keeps you grounded. I mean, you can listen to 1,000 audiobooks, and they're kind of all wrapped around the same thing, and they're all out of some pages of the Bible, whether or not you like it or believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They all that wisdom came from somewhere, a lot from somewhere, and someone a lot smarter than us, and they've kind of just put their own spin on it. So I get into a lot of audio books and, you know, motivation books, and that all helps and stuff. But definitely being grounded, you know, staying right with God as much as I can. I'm an imperfect human, but doing the best I can, and I know when I've got that in line, I can't be stopped.
Definitely.
You talked a lot about your dad and your mom a little bit, but we have to mention your sister. What's it like? I guess you're kind of out on the road with her in a sense. I'm sure you get to see her every once in a while. Kind of talk to me about what it's like, you know, having an older sister like Katie who's in the spotlight all the time.
Yeah, it's super cool. And you say that, that's one of my main goals of why I need to make the national final. So I'm not just Katie's brother, because that's what everyone calls me, just Katie's brother, or now that she's had a baby, now I'm just Hadley's uncle. That's my sister's baby's name is Hadley. So that's the main goal, is to get a name for myself, honestly. But before that, I was Joe's boy. So we're after that. But no, it's super cool to see her. She's at Reno right now, and then we were at Nashville last month and was able to see her there, fly over there. I like to see a stat too, if there's ever been, like, across all the boards of all the sports, if there's ever been a brother sister duo, the sister doing the interviews and then the brother being on a world class stage. I think that would be a cool stat to see.
Oh, definitely. But it's got to be awesome getting interviewed by her. And that, I would imagine that would be a dream come true for her to get to interview you at the finals.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, that's especially that very last day. That's the main goal. And she is super cool. I know that's been her dream and her goal ever since she was a kid, was to get that one of one position. I mean, to interview the world champion NFR guys, I don't think it doesn't get any better than that. So to see her achieve that was great, and I hope that I can get there with her. And I know that would be a small percentage stat as well. If we could both do that, that's maybe never been done before. I don't know if there's been a NFL Super Bowl champ get interviewed by a family member or not, but either way, it'd be pretty cool.
Gosh, that'll be something I'm going to have to look into. You've got me curious now. With the summer run, it's obviously getting pretty hot and heavy, and you're sitting ninth in the world. Kind of what's your outlook for the remainder of the season?
Just win. I took quite a bit of time off there after the winter rodeos, and no reason. There were some good rodeos, but not great rodeos. And like I said, I sold one horse and was getting my other one back right and ready. So I took a little bit of time off, and I've got quite a bit of rodeos left on my account, so I can pretty much rock and roll as much as I want to. So I don't even know, as long as I save some rodeos for the good ones at the end. You know, you got your tour finals and Sioux Falls. So if I got a rodeo for then and there, then I'll keep going. And that's pretty much the game plan. Get my horse back feeling good and keep Logan on the road as much as I can. And hopefully he wins a bunch this week too, and that'll motivate him to keep rolling.